Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Heliostar Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol HSTR and on the OTCQX under the symbol HSTXF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Charles Funk. Now, Charles, let's follow up on some drill results that were released yesterday, February 18th. These drill results are coming from this SH1 zone at the Unga property in Alaska. Now, there are six holes within this news release. Just to remind everybody, the SH1 zone is the zone that has a resource on it, about 385,000 ounces at a little north of almost 14 grams per ton gold. Now, the drill program still working on really understanding this deposit as well as trying to expand it. Some of the headline numbers here, a little over 8 grams per ton gold, over 5.5 meters, and a little bit more than 5 grams per ton, over about 4.5 meters. What are these results telling you about the expansion potential at this SH1 zone?
Hey, Corey, thank you for having me again. Yes, more really good results from SH1 that in the shallow drilling tell us that areas that we didn't think were mineralized before are. And so particularly with hole two and hole three, you just mentioned, as we step to the east in the shallow levels, we're adding some pretty significant grade. So I think it fits a thesis that we've talked about before, where systematic drilling, A, improves the confidence of our resource, but it's also adding ounces with some of these hits.
So when you say systematic drilling, does that mean tighter spacing, really going back through this project and having to drill it out just so you can make sure that you understand that mineralization?
Yeah, it principally means tighter spacing, but it also means, you know, some people historically, when they drill a good hole, will then go back and drill very closely around a good hole. And if they drill a bad hole somewhere else, will never follow up. And so SH1 has a core area that's well drilled. And so we recognize that the shallow 100-meter interval from surface to those intercepts needed drilling, and we've got, you know, consistently good results from that area. And as you go deeper, there's very widely spaced drilling. And so that's, you know, doesn't give you confidence in your resource. But also with epithermal gold systems that have coarse-grained gold, you just need to drill a lot of holes before you can say with confidence what the resource is.
Now, Charles, I'm looking at figure three here. It's a cross section. It shows hole three. That's at the very, top of this resource. It is a more shallow hole, but it really shows this vein that you guys have intersected. It is relatively narrow, but you are getting some high grade results, and it does really expand at some parts. I'm looking about halfway down the vein here. Historic hole 46 intercepted a little more than 16 meters of 28 grams per ton gold. But then you look at the other drill hole that starts up at the top left-hand corner, hole 009 that was drilled in the past. It had different mineralization. It hit a longer width, 30 meters, but lower grade. What can you tell us about what this shows you about the makeup of this deposit?
Yeah, it's a great pickup. You've encapsulated the grade variability in one image. You can see we've got it's a wide vein, a 5 to 10 meter wide true width vein all the way down over 250 meters vertical, and it's open at depth. But those two holes, if listeners look at figure three in our press release from yesterday, they will see that they're almost drilled in the same area. And it's because when you get coarse grain gold, like orogenic veins have, you can sometimes get lucky enough to put the coarse grain piece of gold in the assay bag and sometimes not. And so the 16 meters at 28 grams shows you what happens when that works. And in the same one, you just didn't get those high grades. So it points to variability, which comes back to our comment about systematic drilling. We've drilled two deep holes that we released. We actually plan to drill 10 to 15 deeper holes to expand SH1. As we've touched on, the deepest hole is 5.5 meters at 24 grams. But with all the deep holes, even though the mineralization is variable in them, they've all hit a very robust vein. And so we think it's just statistical probabilities. If you drill two holes, You're no guarantee of getting those high-grade intercepts. But if we drill 20 holes down here, then you can accurately quantify what that resource will be. And so that's going to be a focus for us because we know it's high-grade and we know it's open. So we're still very bullish about expanding SH1.
So then what's the follow-up work going to look like here at SH1? I understand there's a lot of other exploration targets, but staying focused to SH1, the systematic drilling, how are you going to do that by following up?
So there's a, you can see if you look at the long section, there's a number of sort of 100 to 300 meter gaps between drill holes. So we're going to tighten that work up. And as we showed with the shallow drilling, in areas where people previously didn't think there was strong mineralization, that can change with some systematic drilling. So 10 to 15 holes into the core area, into the area that's been drilled to tighten up that spacing to a geologically appropriate, from a resource modeling perspective, distribution. And then, as we said, it's wide open underneath the main chute and the parallel chutes, and we're going to explore to add there. We think we could expand SH1 into the 0.5 to 1 million ounce range at very high grades, and so that'll be the focus when we remobilize in late March.
Can you expand a little bit on that comment of saying past operators, people that have looked at this project before and areas that they thought did not carry mineralization? It sounds like you need to go back and check that because, well, this thing is variable.
Yeah, I sound like a broken record, don't I? It's you systematically drill these systems. If the geological environment tells you that it's prospective, and you know that, you know, it's like diving into your blueberry muffin. Some mouthfuls have the blueberries and some don't. And so you've got to, if you're just cutting that in half, you mightn't be able to accurately represent how many blueberries are in the muffin. But if you cut that into 10 or 12 slices, then you can say with confidence, you know, 9 times out of 10 or 7 times out of 10, you're going to see, if I stretch the analogy, the blueberries. And so you can much more accurately show the representation. So we're not doing anything magical. We're just being systematic and regular so that we can say if we drill initially on 50 meter centers or then ultimately maybe on 25 meter centers, that we can have a high degree of confidence in that variability. And we're not saying that, you know, when you think about it, Corey, one drill hole is approximately, if you look at it in the plan view, is about 5 by 5 centimeters. And you're saying that represents 100 meters by 100 meters of the earth. And so the more of those drill holes you get, the more confidence you have.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. Sounds like you guys just need to keep on drilling, right? And understanding that project even better, or this area even better. Let's quickly discuss some of these deeper results too, because the deeper results, hole 8 and hole 9, they didn't come back with such high grades. What does that mean about the deeper potential here?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was just talking about. We hit the vein, and we've got quite wide vein widths. The mineralization was lower. It's in the 0.5 gram range, but it was consistently mineralized at those levels, and holes around it show some very high grades. And so it comes back to the probabilities. If we drill 20 holes, we think we're very likely to have good success. We drill 2 holes, we have to roll the dice a little bit on probability. So we would always love every hole to come back very high grade, but we still think based on the width of vein that they drilled and the holes around them, that we have a very robust system to expand. And as I mentioned, the high grade in the deepest hole.
All right. Now, are there any other holes that are pending still in the labs from this SH1 zone?
We have the one left from SH1, but we thought we had enough with the 6 that we didn't want to delay releasing this news release. So we've got one more outstanding, but essentially we've reported the bulk of results from last year, and most of those have fantastic intercepts.
All right. How about some of the other drilling that has been done on the project, maybe that you're waiting on assays for?
Yeah, the way with the assay delays, we ended up splitting our samples between 2 labs, and that meant that we're getting a lot of results coming in quickly now. So next week you can look for an update on Aquila, and we think the following week we'll be ready for an update on Apollo Sitka. Aquila is a very exciting target along the same vein to the west, and Apollo Sitka is the old mine that has opened into. The old timers told you the vein continued underneath, but no one had ever drilled. So maybe as we get those results, we can touch base. But we think they're equally as prospective targets as SH1.
Okay.
Well, I guess we're waiting for more drill results, but they sound like they are coming very shortly, next week and probably following throughout that. So we'll follow up as more news hits the market. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Charles regarding any of these drill results or the other targets that are being tested, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. Charles, I appreciate the update, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.